From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into our monthly Power Lunch edition here on DeKalb Business Today. My name is Matt Holmes, along with executive producer Jason Becknell. Our monthly edition where we get to profile the best and brightest in the food and drink industry all around DeKalb County. We'll introduce our panel coming up in just a second. But before we do, I want to remind you, you can find DeKalb Business Radio on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Listen live every Friday at DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. And of course, if you can't listen live, download our free podcast on our website or on iTunes. Go ahead and introduce our panel now. And we start with Stephen Kars, King of Pops. Welcome. Appreciate you being
Thank
here.
You. Excited to be here.
You can follow them on Twitter at King of Pops, which is kind of important because you guys are all over the place, right?
Yeah, trying to be.
Yeah. So this is the slow season when it comes to frozen treats.
Regretfully, yes.
Where can people still find your product?
We're at a ton of mom and pop type shops, Whole Foods, Earth Fair, those types of retailers. And then we also just opened a King of Pops bar and good grub over at Ponce City Market. So we've got popsicles that you can dip in chocolate, which is pretty amazing. We've got grilled cheese and salad from our farm. All the ingredients from the salad are from our farm. And then most excited for us is we also have cocktails. So cocktails inspired by the popsicle flavors and some pretty cool stuff going on.
That sounds
beer
like
and wine,
fun. So you guys have a farm.
Correct. Yeah.
Where is that?
It's in Douglasville, so near Douglasville, so about 40 minutes west of the city. Just got to getting started. So farming is it's not the same as making popsicles. It takes a little bit longer. So we've got a few things coming out of the ground. We'll have strawberries and stuff next year, all of our herbs and a lot of cool stuff. Lettuce and such for the salad as well.
That's great. Well, King of Pops, certainly a staple here in the Decatur area, Decatur Square, in the spring and summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why you're here. It's a slow season. We appreciate having you here.
Thank you.
Talk more about your business coming up. Our second guest is Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu. You guys are the ones who supply the chefs to all these local restaurants, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We train all of our chefs with front house skills and with the culinary and baking and pastry skills that they need to kind of make sure that everyone keeps smiling from food.
How did you get into it? What was your background?
My background is law. I'm an attorney and I'm actually the lead instructor. So I'm brought on to manage or serve as the campus dean. So I deal with all of our students, which we have around 900 students. And I also manage the chefs and the general education instructors.
900 students at this one campus.
One campus, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. And Le Cordon Bleu, nationwide, all over the place.
It's worldwide. Paris, and then, of course, North America. You have it in California, Texas, Chicago, you name it. We have 16 campuses in North America alone.
We'll talk more about it coming up, but I do want to ask you, you have at least one alum who's gotten national attention on TV.
Absolutely. We have Chef T. She's a recent graduate, and she, of course, came in second on Hell's Kitchen. But we have a multitude of other students who are also now serving as sous chefs at the age of 19. They're running the kitchens in a few of the name brand restaurants that are kind of worldwide. So I'd love telling you more about that, as well as Disney. We have a lot of students on the resort islands.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu. We'll talk more about your business coming up. And then our final guest, Blake Marshman. He's the general manager of Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe. Opening when here on Ponce Indicator?
We're looking at late December, early January. So
a matter of weeks.
Yeah, just a matter of weeks. Drywall is actually going up today at the construction site.
So what goes into it, leading up to the opening? What is your day-to-day life like?
Well, I've been working in our current locations. We have three right now, Suwannee, Alpharetta, and then one in Sandy Springs. So, we've been all over the Atlanta area. This is our first time in the county, so we're really excited looking at Toco Hills next after this. So, just working in the restaurant, trying to hire good people. So with Le Cordon Bleu here, we've already been talking. We're always looking for skilled people in the kitchen, so we're excited.
So we can make a reasonable inference into the name of the restaurant, Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe, but what exactly is on your menu?
We're really well known for our Mediterranean cuisine, obviously. Some would say it's mostly Greek inspired. It's fresh grilled meats. We make our sauces from scratch daily. And then, we have a bunch of healthy side options available. So we kind of go with fresh food, made from scratch every day, and that's what we're all about.
Is it sit down with a wait staff? Is it go up to the counter and place your order?
Oh, yeah, you go up to the counter and place your order. It's kind of a half service, as we call it. So, you know, we will have a front of house staff that serves you from there. So you take a number to the table, you know, and from then on out, it's pretty much full service. We'll get you refilled, take care of whatever the guest needs.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to talking more about your company and more about what you guys are doing to get connected in the community, newcomers to Decatur.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Excited to have you guys here. Let's get back to our first guest here on DeKalb Business today, Stephen Karst from the King of Pops. Talk to me a little bit about some of the flavors that you guys have come up with. What are some of the stranger flavors? Because it's off the wall stuff that I would never think of. These combinations that come together and they're really, really good.
Yeah. I think like my gauge for what's strange since we've been doing this for 6 years now has really changed. But in the beginning, flavors like pineapple habanero, tangerine basil, grapefruit mint, I don't know, pear vanilla. We've had about 400, 500 flavors at this point. We kind of just keep trying new stuff. We just did something with Sublime Donuts. Right now we've got like holiday pie pack. So we've got a cranberry cheesecake, chocolate pecan pie, caramel pumpkin pie, and coconut cream pie. So it's like instead of taking a pie to your holiday party, you could potentially bring this.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So 6 years in business, talk to me about where it came from. It's fascinating to me that you build a business around a product that costs like, $3, $3.50, something like
that?
Yeah,
now it's $3. We increased our price 50 cents this year, much to the dismay of some of our loyalists. But after 5 years, things just get more expensive.
It kind
of wasn't really that much of an option.
So a business starts around a product that inexpensive, and you guys have built it quite fast.
Yeah. We started with a single push cart in North Avenue, North Highlands, over in like the Ponce Highlands neighborhood. Our second cart was on the Decatur Square. So we've been there a really long time. It's kind of an idyllic situation to come and bring your kids or a date, come hang out, and don't really have, it's kind of a cheap date. So we call it an affordable luxury. You definitely don't need to buy a $3 popsicle, but if you're going to go do something, why not?
It's not going to break your bank.
Exactly.
So you're good at making popsicles. You're good at coming up with flavor combinations. At some point, to expand your business, you got to be good at business. How did that come about?
So I run the company with my brother. We're similar, but also very different. So we have complementary skill sets. I don't know. It's just our biggest thing is when an opportunity comes up, we pretty much always will try it. We'll try anything once. I mean, kind of the same mentality with the flavors. If someone makes a suggestion, we'll try it. Same with a business idea. If someone has a suggestion to go to a music festival or thinks we'd be a good fit at this type of catering event, we'll always try those types of things. I think that's what I've been excited about. And then finding people, as far as hiring, that were really excited about our brand. We've had a lot of luck with that. So instead of going maybe the traditional route of kind of Craigslist or a job search board, we've had our best luck with just connecting with our fans and them coming out and reaching out to us and say, hey, love to work with you, love to figure out how I could be a part of the team, and kind of going from there.
What's the future for King of Pops? Because obviously, as you have these different business opportunities coming up, you want to keep getting out into the community. How do you make it bigger and better, and how do you make sure you're making the right steps?
Yeah, I think for us, it's easy to say this and really abstract and hard to do it. We just need to continue to increase our presence just in the community. This year we did a free yoga event, and we have a field day, and we do a lot of work with elementary schools in our area. But I think just realizing how the smallest act, how broad your sphere of influence can be, whether that's a vendor that sees someone getting a flat tire and goes and helps them out, or whether it's doing something big and donating money to a social cause. I want to just kind of get deeper into that part of the world.
You're here in the Atlanta area, plans to go out across the country, across the world, across the universe.
So we're in 6 southern cities. We started in Atlanta, and each year we've kind of added one city. So Charlotte, Richmond, Charleston, Greenville, Savannah, kind of, and then we're looking into Nashville for this year. So that's kind of the next frontier if it works out. But there's plenty of things that could prevent it from working out.
Is there one flavor combination that you guys have come across and come up with over the course of the 6 years that has just been a home run that your customers gave overwhelming response to?
Yeah, I'd say we've got a handful. My personal favorite is banana pudding. It's got full vanilla wafers, vanilla beans, slices of banana. But the one that we kind of have to take out on the cart is chocolate sea salt. And if we don't have it out, it's like one of the only flavors that there's like a contingent of people that just literally walk away. So that was a business decision we made that this one just is going to be on all the carts now.
Is there a flavor combination that bombed?
Several. We, like I said, we give them kind of free reign to try stuff and let our fans do the talking. Sometimes they don't even make it out the door, though. I think the one that this question comes up quite a lot, the one that this year that I think was worst was, I can't even remember it because it's so strange. Avocado fennel something.
Oh, my.
Pretty bad.
Okay.
But what's right? I mean, hey, we've also had some strange ones that have worked out. So you never know.
That's awesome. Stephen Karsh from King of Pops. Follow them on Twitter at King of Pops. And that's how you're letting people know where you're going to be and when?
Yeah. We definitely keep everything up to date on Twitter. We actually have a Christmas tree business. We have a few trees left kind of to keep our vendors busy in the winter where
that's
we deliver the trees.
Yeah.
So you can also, we're posting, if you see a lot of tree stuff on our social media right now, that's just because we're in the tree business for about another 2 weeks. But yeah.
When I was in college, I worked at a putt-putt.
Uh-huh.
And in the month of December, they just shut down the putt-putt and they turned the whole thing into a Christmas tree farm. You got to do something in the slow season.
Yeah.
Stephen Karsh from King of Pops, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
On DeKalb Business Today. Let's get back with Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu. You mentioned 900 students at the Atlanta, the Tucker campus there, just off Lawrenceville Highway. Where are they coming from? How do they find out about you and a passion for culinary arts?
One thing about Le Cordon Bleu, marketing, they are everywhere. If you go on monsterjob.com before you can even get onto the site to look for a job, Le Cordon Bleu is going to pop up. And Chef Schuler, Chef Daryl Schuler, is our CMC certified master chef. They only have like 63 in the, not in the world, but in North America. And he is the first and only African-American to ever achieve that. It's a 20-day exam where they have to show all of their culinary expertise. And he is the face. He's the one that they're utilizing for marketing. And so he's on all of the commercials, the billboards in New York, LA, everywhere. He's all over. In addition to that, he's on the marketing material that we pass out, that we hand out. And because of all of the events that they do in the community and that they invite the community to, it's just, I can't imagine anyone not knowing Le Cordon Bleu. It's such a household name. I can't even wear my lanyard, just the lanyard alone with Le Cordon Bleu, and go into the grocery store without getting stopped from people saying, oh, you're at Le Cordon Bleu. Can you tell me which sauce I'm supposed to add to? And I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. So.
I have legal training.
Exactly. Yeah, I could tell you what'll happen if that sauce makes you sick. but yeah, so it's pretty much a household name through marketing, I do believe.
For those students that come in and have an interest in getting into culinary arts, mm-hmm. I would imagine you have a lot of them coming straight out of high school. But are some coming later in life?
We have maybe 40% coming straight out of high school.
Okay.
The other 60 are career changers. Some people who are retired and they really just want to learn how to cook.
That's cool.
You know, and so we have a very diverse group of students. And as a result of that, you have to know how to deal with them from the level that they're on, because they all have different interests and different reasons for being there.
We've had all sorts of different types of chefs, types of restaurants on our show. We have a Mediterranean restaurant here. We've had Indian restaurants. We've had pizza chefs, the whole gambit. Are you able to train them? Is there a base, just basic level of fundamental that you teach them, or do you get into the specialization depending on what they think they want to go into?
The core is definitely they understand French cuisines and gourmet cooking, but and sauces, but they're trained in, like, for example, they have an entire rotation where they focus on, it's funny you would say, Mediterranean. And then they have to do another rotation where they're focusing on pizza and you name it. They want them to be specialists in every single field. And those things, we even have a class that's called Cross Cultures. The Cross Cultures class is where they're learning how to make the foods out of Chile and on and on. And so they know how to do specialty dishes in almost that are a part of every single culture worldwide.
How long in typical college is a 4-year college, you get your degree. How long are they in school before they are clear to kind of go on and get their job in the culinary world?
If they're just there for their certificate, that would be maybe around 18 months. that includes their externship. The externship is a couple months out in the field. Mm-hmm. And if they're there for their associates, because we also provide them with their associate's degree where they have to take the gen ed classes, English, psychology, math, that will take maybe around 24 to 30 months. Mm-hmm. And that does not include the 8 months or actually in some cases 2 years. We have students going to Vail, the Vail resorts, and they're going for 2 years straight. And so you could look at maybe about 2 years potentially if they're trying to get their associates. Absolutely.
What's the job climate look like? I know that certain professions, it's really hard coming out of college for someone getting their degree to find work in their profession. Mm-hmm. What about in the culinary industry? These chefs that you have trained, are they coming out finding jobs relatively easily? Is it a struggle?
Oh, well, after talking with the director of career services with our program, I found that 96% of our students are all receiving externship opportunities or job opportunities or placement after they graduate, and in some cases before they graduate. Our biggest challenge is holding on to the student to have them finish the program before they leave, because they're excited about the fact they have this awesome job, they're getting paid all this money, and then they want to run. And my conversation to them is, if you can make that kind of money without having your degree or without having the certificate, imagine when you finish what you can do. And that's normally, it's worked so far.
You're like a college basketball coach or college football coach. Turn down the NBA for a year. That's funny. Matt Holmes here on DeKalb Business Today, talking with Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu. How does the Atlanta restaurant market stack up? Obviously, you said Le Cordon Bleu's all over the world, all over the country. How does this market stack up when you talk about putting chefs out into restaurants and opportunities like that?
Actually, Le Cordon Bleu in the Tucker area, the Atlanta campus is the largest campus next to the one in Pasadena. And in addition to that, as far as our placement, because they're not just placed in Atlanta, they're placed all over. It's kind of hard to gauge because we have so many people that come outside of Atlanta to hire the students because of their massive training. And so it's hard to gauge how many exactly go into the Atlanta market. When we look at some of the restaurants in Atlanta, although they're coming up and we're getting more, there's still not enough sometimes to get the alumni and all of the graduates and the students who are already there. And so for that, they start spreading into other areas outside of the Atlanta market.
How does Le Cordon Bleu reach out or help students to reach out and connect with potential externships or jobs in the industry?
We have job fairs on the campus almost every other week. And the job fairs, we invite the owners of the restaurants to come in, and you can bring your material, your packets, and you can interview the student right there. They'll have their resume, they'll be dressed, and they have the 30-second, we've taught them the 30-second pitch. In 30 seconds, explain to me why I should hire you. What is it that you bring to the table that someone else doesn't? And so we have maybe 80 to 100 employers, different employers that come in and that fly in just to meet the students on a biweekly basis.
That's impressive. When does the term start, if you will? If somebody's interested, they're listening and interested in maybe getting into Le Cordon Bleu, when do they apply? When do classes start?
They can call now, but the classes start for our next rotation January 4th. So we're about to do a 2-week break, which I'm pretty excited about for Christmas. But we have maybe 2 more weeks before they're in finals, and then they're out for 2 weeks.
Okay. Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu. You can follow them on Twitter at LCBS Schools. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Great being here.
Let's get back to our third guest. That's Blake Marshman, the GM of the soon-to-be-new Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe here on Ponce in Decatur. So talk to me about the strategy, because this is an Alabama-based company that is expanding now into the Atlanta market and all over the Atlanta market. What's the strategy going into where they're expanding?
We're just looking at the entire Atlanta market in general, but we're really excited to be in this county. The community here is very strong, and we're looking to provide families, business people, kind of on their day-to-day grind, if you will, with fresh food. And we believe, kind of coming into a market that the food will sell itself. We believe that if we can get the food in people's mouths, that they'll come back. And we're just tremendously excited to be taking off here.
One of the ways that you're, getting your name out there, you guys give back, get involved in the community. Tell us about that.
All over the country, Tzatziki's, we actually have 50 locations now over the country, and we're very involved with charity work. Right now, it looks like we're going to be partnering with the Giving Kitchen, actually, here in the Decatur area. So, we are always looking at ways that we can reach the community connect with the community, and really, hopefully, everyone benefits from that.
Now, you mentioned that you are REAL certified, Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe REAL certified. What does that mean?
REAL certification. That's something we're really excited about. We're actually the first national franchise chain to have that accreditation. Basically, what it stands for is Responsible Epicurean and Agricultural Leadership.
It sounds
complicated. Basically, what it is the United States Healthful Food Council. They come in, kind of do an audit of what you serve and the materials you're using. So basically, it's food sourcing, where we're getting our proteins, where we're getting our produce, kind of how we prepare the food. So we have no freezer, we have no fryers, we have no microwaves in our kitchen. So everything is fresh, and we met, I guess, the certification requirements to be REAL certified. So it's something that's very exciting. We believe we have healthy food that really can, you know, kind of contribute to a healthy lifestyle in general. And I think that's what the United States Healthful Food Council is looking for in the future.
All right, so we're a couple weeks away from everybody making their New Year's resolutions. Everybody wants to lose the weight, right? So give us your pitch on being healthy food, because in a couple weeks, everybody's going to be concerned about eating healthy.
Well, you know, I mean, health is something that is not just with your food, it's with your entire lifestyle. And we like to say that, you know, we kind of adapt that entire lifestyle and into the Mediterranean cuisine. You know, we encourage people to just look at our menu, make decisions based on what they feel like is healthy for them. But, you know, fresh meats, our lamb is obviously sourced from Colorado. It's all very, very fresh. Our produce is sourced locally. So we believe that, you know, by connecting with these good vendors and these good sources of food, that we can really provide the customer with healthy food.
This company basically was born, I guess, from a trip to Greece.
Yes, it was. Our founder, Keith Richards, he took a trip to Greece with his wife. And
this is not from the Rolling Stones. It's not that Keith Richards.
No, it is not.
Okay,
is not.
That'd be kind of cool.
And, you know, he just kind of was inspired by the trip. He was a chef himself, came back, started the first Tzatziki's back in the late 90s, and it was in Birmingham, Alabama, and it's just kind of grown from there. The growth has been tremendous, and that's what's resulted in the investment in this market.
And last question for you, as you guys get ready to open in the next few weeks or so here in Decatur, and of course, Toco Hills is coming over off North Druid Hills Road. Give people an idea of the pricing. How expensive or affordable is it?
We like to think that we're right on par with Fresh Casual. You know, we have a really good price range where you can get anything from, you know, $7 to $12 a head. And, you know, we also have wine and beer options. So, you know, your ticket can obviously grow from there, but it's very affordable, great lunch pricing. And we'd like you, you know, to come check us out.
All right, there you go. Find their website, tzatzikiscafe.com. Follow them on Twitter, at Tzatziki's. Blake Marshman, we're going to be looking forward to your opening here in the next few weeks.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, let's get to our final guest, James Maggard. And if you're in the Tucker area, you appreciate his work with the Local 7 and also with the new restaurant. Tell us about that.
Yes. Within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have M572 opening, which is kind of casual, upscale, Southern-influenced dining.
I spoke with someone who was at a preview at that restaurant and said they ate duck, which is not something you typically see served in the Tucker area. So this is kind of a new genre, I guess.
It is. It's a little bit you know, no, it's not a stretch for the Tucker area. We've had a wonderful response from everybody who's come through so far. Chef John Allen of Krog Bar and Rathman's fame has come up and done a spectacular job for us. So it's the next evolution in the area. We have Local 7, which has been a success for us as a family-friendly neighborhood bar and grill. And having kind of the pulse on our community, this is what everybody wanted, which fit, because it's what John and I were working on for quite some time.
In real estate, they say location, location, location. You're on Main Street.
Sure.
Which is attractive. Tell me about how that's worked for you.
It's been great. What really brought us up to Tucker was the revitalization of the Main Street and of the downtown area. And we saw the need and the desire of the community to come back and actually have some place to call their own. There are many Tuckerites who are born and raised, which is something unique to the Atlanta area and to the Atlanta market. So they wanted a place to call their own. So yes, it is location. And, you know, having that location on Main Street, you know, we're trying to draw everybody back.
How big an advantage do you anticipate it being? Having your two restaurants, they're going to be basically, what, one door down, two doors down from each other?
Well, I'll tell you what, with these soft openings that we've done, it's been a tremendous help, because we've forgotten to order, to-go cups, and just the little odds and ends that you don't really think about when you're trying to, when you're so focused on the food. So from that aspect, it's been wonderful. It's also nice to be able to keep pulse on what's going on next door and not being a phone call away, but a few steps away.
The names are unique. Local 7, M572. I know there's a story behind both of them.
Yeah, behind both of them. Our desire when we came to Tucker was to be the neighborhood restaurant, the neighborhood bar, where everybody would come and know all of the their fellow patrons. Local 7 came from, we wanted to be the local bar, so that's where the local portion of it came from. And we actually bought the History of Tucker book and the relevance of the number 7 to the community. Mm-hmm. And there's a laundry list in the book. And off the top of my head,
it's like 7 miles away, 7 miles away from Atlanta and Decatur. Yeah, and
there's a number of them, 7 miles away from 7 different municipalities, 7 high schools. I don't want to have anybody call me up and correct me on anything else, but there's quite a few. And then
what about with the new restaurant?
So with the new restaurant, we wanted to do the same thing. Since we had such a good reception with Local 7, we referred to the same book. And did a little bit of research and went back to find what Tucker was named in years past. And it, in and around the Civil War era, it was called Militia District 572, which then became Henry County, subdivided, so on and so forth. Now we're known as officially City of Tucker now. So we went with M572.
So that's unique. You get a little history lesson when you go to dine. That's
absolutely
pretty cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes it personal for every diner in Tucker.
I think we're familiar with the restaurant or with the menu at Local 7. How about the menu at M572? What's it going to look like when it opens? And when does it open?
We actually just put it out on Facebook today that we are taking reservations for next week's soft opening. So okay. We are waiting to iron a few things out, but wanted to offer up those reservations to some of our local patrons. More than likely we'll be opening next Tuesday.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, a Tuesday.
Okay, so you're looking at like December the 15th.
15th, yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's excellent. How about the menu? What are you offering?
We're offering a variety of things. We created the restaurant. John and I sat down and we wanted to put a menu out with stuff that we like to eat and the way that we like to eat. So I hesitate to say tapas because we're not a tapas restaurant by any stretch of the imagination, but we're given the opportunity for people to come in and try a number of different Southern-influenced small plates and can pick and choose and have a variety of different meals and then potentially split an entree or dine the traditional way.
How have you gone about finding help for your restaurant? I mean, a lot of hiring going on as part of the operation for opening a new restaurant.
Well, what we've always tried to do is find good people. Location, yes, but finding good people, promoting from within. And that's what we've done at 572. We've actually brought Stacy Slocum, who is our bar manager from Local 7, over, and she's now a managing partner at 572. So it starts with getting a core group of people together. Chef John Allen brought over some a sous chef, and we got a core base group of people together that work really well together. And we've been moving other people through the kitchen and through the front of the house. And we've been able to find some very talented folks.
When opening a new restaurant, a lot goes into it. You're opening an old cupcake shop is what it was.
Yes.
Is it inspired? Is it based on another restaurant that you've seen or a collection of restaurants? Is it just totally your brainchild?
Oddly enough, the kitchen or the 572 itself is designed after my kitchen at home. Loosely.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, the poured concrete tile or the poured concrete bar, the backsplash, everything kind of resembles the kitchen that I had remodeled at my house a few years ago. Everybody ends up in the kitchen. That's where everybody comes to socialize whenever anybody is entertaining. We have an open kitchen concept to where you can be sitting at the bar and you take a look to your right and you can see see everybody back there working, just like you would at somebody's house who's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to have that feel and have that, sense of community, the sense of, a home-cooked meal.
Well, as we get ready to wrap it up, I want to bring it back to the full table because when we do this monthly kind of restaurant show, what you find that's different from the typical shows you do with just regular everyday businesses, a lot of businesses, people work 9 to 5. That's not so in the line of work that you guys are all in. So just kind of going around the table, talk to me about your regular work week and the kind of hours that you work each day. And we'll start with you, Stephen.
So in December in the popsicle industry, you work a little bit less for sure, but it's just different kind of work. In the summer, it's basically 7 days a week, depend on kind of what has to be done. You basically are just getting called into stuff. But right now, it's kind of more of the business planning part, which is really fun, thinking about what we want to do differently and trying to be thoughtful instead of just reactionary.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Day to day now, I could work probably closer to the 9-to-5 schedule, really. And then once the season starts, it's a little
seven days a week.
Yeah.
How about you, Audra?
Well, although I'm not running the restaurant, because the students are there and we have a restaurant on the campus, I'm there pretty much from maybe 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. I know.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, these bags under my eyes. I use ice cubes. It's not working. But, yeah, so I'm there for a long time. But the students are as well, because we're training them to get in the habit of putting in the time and to still remain hospitable despite your fatigue. It's almost like maybe military training in some way, but on the hospitable side.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah many hours.
Blake, how about you? I mean, you guys haven't even opened yet, but you said you're active in the other Tzatziki's locations around Metro Atlanta. What's your day look like?
You know, it's just dependent on kind of our sales growth. And right now, you know, weekends have been slower for us at our current locations, but we really anticipate heavy weekend traffic here in the Decatur area. So, you know, I mean, it can be 50 to 70 hour weeks, anywhere in between there. And, you know, 10 to 11 hour shifts, but it's just kind of when the job's done, you head home. So it's really one of those careers where you get into management, and if you get the job done, then you can head home. That's pretty much it.
James, sit down restaurants, I mean, you're doing the majority of your business, I would imagine, during the dinner time, evening hours. Is that where we're going to find you in the evening?
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, I'll be there every night. We're going to start with Tuesday through Saturday service to make sure that we get all of our ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But my day primarily looks like getting up, getting the kids to school and heading up to local to make sure they get through lunch, and then walking over to 572 to make sure we get through dinner. So about 6 months, it'll be sun up to sundown.
Yeah. Well, James Maggard from Local 7 and the new M572. Check them out on Main Street in Tucker. We appreciate you being here. Blake Marshman from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe, new location opening here in Decatur on Ponce as well as at Toco Hills, right there on North Druid Hills Road. Stephen Kars from the King of Pops. You can follow them on Twitter at King of Pops. And Audra Luke from Le Cordon Bleu at LCBS Schools on Twitter. Guys, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of the DeKalb Business Today Power Lunch. We'll be back in about 15 minutes or so, or 1 o'clock, top of the hour, with another great show here on DeKalb Business Radio. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.